Lam ra. Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Surah Yusuf is known as a Makki surah. Many of the Mufassirin, they have stated that besides four verses of Surah Yusuf, the entire surah is known as a Makki surah, meaning its revelation took place in Makkah. It comprises of 111 verses and 12 ruku. The surah begins with words which are known as huruful muqatta'at, broken words or isolated words. Alif, Lam, and Ra. And our aqidah about these words that are used in the beginning of many surahs of the Holy Quran, Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf, Alif, Lam, Mim, etc., etc., is that Allah alone knows the meaning of these words, and He may have revealed it to His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what we do know is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never made or give an explanation of what is the meaning of these words. So it is from among the sirr min Allah, among the secrets of Allah, بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ رَسُولِهِ, between Him and His Rasul. These words, the meaning of it is not of such a nature that will decrease our iman or increase our iman if we know them. As such, it is not permissible for any Muslim and believer to go into the meaning, searching for what is the meaning of these things. That has nothing to do with the increase or decrease of our iman. Our belief, as propagated by the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, is that these things are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not for us to go into this searching for the meaning, taking up difficulties to find out what is Alif, what is Lam, and what is Ra. But they are as they are. Allahu a'lamu bis-sawab. Allah knows best. Allah knows what is the meaning of these things. Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Allah says, these are the verses of the book which is manifest. The book which is clear and manifest. These are the verses. The verses of Surah Yusuf. The Holy Quran, a clear book of guidance. The guidance is manifest. And as I was mentioning in the beginning, the surah, which is Surah Yusuf, it is the only surah of the Holy Quran in which the incidents pertaining to the life of a Nabi of Allah is mentioned in sequence. It means that the surah begins from his childhood days and goes throughout until it reaches its end to show all the things that happened in his life, the many incidents, the trials he had to pass through, the temptations set up by Satan, until even after Nabuwat. Besides this surah, which is known as Surah Yusuf, incidents unlike other Nabi, unlike other prophets, besides this surah, Yusuf alayhi salam's mention is not made in other surahs. If we take the life of Musa alayhi salam, you will see it throughout the entire Quran. In Surah Baqarah at length,
in Surah Maryam, in Surah Taha, in Surah, all the other surahs coming, in Surah Anbiya, in Surah Yunus, all throughout the Holy Quran, Isa, we will know about Yunus alayhi salam, etc., etc. But you will not hear about the incidents pertaining to Yusuf alayhi salam there. Bas. The surah, maybe his name will be mentioned, only that. And we have revealed to you the like of what we have revealed in the past, and his name might be mentioned here. But how you will find something about Musa alayhi salam here, there, and all other parts, Isa alayhi salam, etc., we will not find that about Yusuf alayhi salam. It is all connected, as many of the commentators of the Holy Quran have mentioned, it is all connected to the cause of the revelation of this surah. That some Jews came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked him two questions. One, in order to test him, not for their own knowledge. They were not really interested in learning things that are true, but they were interested in putting the Messenger of Allah to a trial, that if he does not know, they will get the chance to say, look at this man, he claims to be a prophet and he does not know. They were looking for that chance to say. So they said to him, why did the family of Jacob, Yaqub alayhi salam, move from Syria to Egypt? Syria was the promised land of the Jews. And way back in the days of Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam was ordered by Allah to come out from Egypt and to move over the Red Sea, they were commanded by Allah to enter the promised land. The promised land was the land of Syria. So the question is, why did the children of Jacob move from Syria, when that was their promised land, back to Egypt? And the other question, what was the incident involving Yusuf alayhi salam? Now the incidents concerning Yusuf alayhi salam, they are mentioned in the Torah, in the books that were revealed to Musa alayhi salam. It took care of many of the prophets of the past. However, most of these things, the true teachings of it had gone from it. They knew some of it, but as I said, the purpose of asking the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such questions, it is not that they want to know, that we do not know and we want knowledge, but it is to put him to a test and put him to a trial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reply to the questions that were being asked, revealed the entire surah of Surah Yusuf. And in it, both questions are answered. Why did the family of Jacob move from the promised land to Egypt? And also, not only one incident, but the entire incident surrounding the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, the trials, and how it is that he did not ever sin against Allah. It is proven and shown in Surah Yusuf. Because in the Old Testament, and whatever we have today, many things, many false allegations are made against many of the Anbiya's of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Holy Quran clears up most or all of those things. The allegations made against Suleiman alayhi salam, allegations made against Dawud alayhi salam, even though it is accepted that they were Nabi. Unlike this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions other surahs making mention about the Anbiya's. The purpose is not really to give us the life story of a person. But it is important to know that whenever the past or the history of people are mentioned before others, it serves as a lesson for the future of that individual. We can learn many lessons from what occurred to the people of the past. We can learn many lessons from the Ad and the Thamud people. We can learn many lessons from the flood of Noah alayhi salam. And so too, what occurred with Yusuf alayhi salam, many lessons can be learned from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. He says that these are the signs of the clear book, the manifest book. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyya. Certainly, we have revealed the Holy Quran as a Quran in the Arabic language. La'allakum ta'qilun. So that you may understand it. It is addressed to those people who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wanted to find out what is it about Yusuf alayhi salam. What were the real incidents? Allah is saying in the Holy Quran, addressing it to them, you Jews, you are Arabs. You are Arabs. The only way you can fully understand the incident of Yusuf, if it is revealed, it is if it is revealed in a language which you can understand, and that is the Arabic language. That is why Allah says that. We have revealed the Quran in Arabic so that you may understand. So it shall not be said afterwards that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your Lord revealed a Quran, he spoke about Yusuf, but in another language. We are Arabs, we cannot understand. Allah says, no, Quran and Arabiya. La'allakum, why? So that you may understand it. Ta'qilun. Now, about the incident. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. We relate to you, Muhammad, the most beautiful of all stories, and all the most beautiful of all relations and narrations, and that we have revealed to you in the Holy Quran. وَإِن كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Although from before you were totally unaware of it. From among the miracles of the Holy Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam previously had no confrontation with any Jews or the Christians, that he could have gotten knowledge about Yusuf alayhi salam from the Bible or the Torah or the Injil, as the case may be. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ummi. So Allah says, we are going to relate to you the best of all stories and incidents, the best of all narrations, although you, O Muhammad, you had no knowledge of it before. You didn't know who was Yusuf. You didn't know what happened to Yusuf. You didn't know the strategies that were made against Yusuf to kill Yusuf as a child. But we are going to narrate that to you. إِذَا قَالَ يُوسُفُ. Remember, behold, Yusuf alayhi salam said, لِيَبِيهِ, to his father. What did he say? يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ أَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. Oh my beloved father, I see 11 stars. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. I see the sun and the moon, I see them prostrating before me. Oh my father, this is what I see. Yusuf alayhi salam is seen a dream. But the history behind it, the complete history, is that to go back to Yaqub alayhi salam, together with Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salam had 12 sons. He had 10 sons from his first wife. Hazrat Layya bin Layyan bore him 10 sons. Then she passed away. After passing away, he married to one of her sisters by the name of Rahil. And from Rahil, he had 2 sons, Yusuf and Benjamin. Joseph and Benjamin, as they are known. Yusuf's mother passed away when he was still a child, at the time of the birth of Binyamin or Benjamin. Because of the fact that they were the youngest children of Jacob, of Yaqub alayhi salam, he was very much attached to both of them, especially Yusuf alayhi salam. Because of which, it created envy and jealousy in the hearts of the elder brothers. At a very young age, Yusuf alayhi salam, who would in turn and inshallah eventually be a prophet of Allah, started to get signs of good things. And once he had the dream that, oh my father, I have seen in my dream the 11 stars and the sun and the moon, they are prostrating before me. The father, as a Nabi of Allah, immediately understood the ta'wil and the interpretation of the dream, that the 11 stars means your 11 brothers, the sun and the moon, your father and mother. Although his mother had passed away, but the person who he was married to, because she took care of Yusuf alayhi salam, she is on the degree of a mother to him. So she is the one who will eventually fall in prostration to her son Yusuf alayhi salam. We'll come to that at the end of the surah when he enters into Egypt. And this was the ta'wil. Yaqub alayhi salam understood very well, that the other sons, they are envious of Yusuf alayhi salam. And he also understood what the meaning of the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam was. So knowing that they did not like Yusuf alayhi salam, what did the father say to his beloved son Yusuf? He said, "Qala ya bunayya," he said, "oh my beloved son, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatika," do not relate your dream to your brothers. Struggle. Do not relate your dream to your brothers. Fayakidu laka kaida, for they will plot against you a plan. They will make a plan against you. By plotting against you, they will bring up some scheme against you to kill you. Why? Why would they do that? Because inna shaytana lil insani aduwwun mubin, because certainly Satan is an open enemy against man, and his mission is to divide, disunite, break up, bring about murder, bring about hatred and envy. And this is already in the hearts of your brother, so he is going to incite them to do some harm to you. So don't say that dream to them. The Mufassirin have taken out some beautiful maslahs just from this ayat here. One ayah is that Yusuf alayhi salam sees a dream. What is a dream? How is that dream connected to the nabuwat of Yusuf alayhi salam, to the prophethood of Yusuf alayhi salam? The commentators of the Holy Quran have stated that the reality of dreams, we all dream. We go to sleep and we dream. The reality of dream is that when your nafs and the ruh is completed from the physical body, we are here today because our ruh is here with us. Our soul is here with us. Our soul is here. This is why we our eyes are open. We can speak. We can look around. We can walk. We can move our hands. The ruh is there. But when certain things come over upon the human body, the ruh does not function its functioning and play its role in the physical body. For example, when sleep comes up over a body, the physical body does not work again. Your hands cannot move, it's dropping on the ground. If anyone wants to see if you're sleeping, they raise your hand and it falls down on the ground. And unconsciousness. Now, if a person is unconscious, he's not dead. He's not dead. The fact that he is not, that means the ruh is there. But why can't he move? Why isn't he conscious of what's going on? Why can't he speak? Why can't he see? Because the ruh has moved from the physical body to another place because of that which has come over the human body, sleep and unconsciousness. So you're asleep, then you're not aware. Okay, you get up in the morning, now the ruh is with the person and it's moving the nafs and the ruh. So when the person is asleep, the ruh, through the path of thoughts, shows up many different things to the person. Now there is something called quwwati khiyaliya in every human being, the power of thoughts within yourself and ourselves. That power of thoughts, it's so powerful that a man can sit down right here, close his eyes, and think that he is flying in the air or running all over the place. And you are seeing things. If you had seen something this morning, you can close your eyes right now and see the same thing back. You can see it. If you had seen a person, you can close your eyes right here and bring that person to your imagination and see that person and see also the color of clothing he had on, etc., etc. That is the power of thoughts. Quwwat-e khayaliya, the power of thoughts in a person. So when the ruh is complete from the physical body, it directs its attention towards quwwat-e khayaliya, the thoughts. And in that field now, the things we see, it is from the thoughts. So we sleep and we dream. What we dream is that which is entering through our thoughts, the part of the thoughts coming to us. Dreams are of three types, the scholars have mentioned. Two are baseless and one is true. One, the first type of dream is that whatever a person has seen in the normal daily life, his daily life, what you see, what you do, what you say, it is the same thing that comes back in your thoughts at night when you sleep. So you see it. You see what you have done. You met a person today, so you see him in your dream. Okay? You know, mutashakkilun fi khiyalihi. It takes a shape in our thoughts and we see what we have seen the day. That doesn't have any meaning and that doesn't have any interpretation. There is no tabir and there is no interpretation for that. It doesn't have any effect. It has no rule and it has no connection to the individual. It is baseless. It is batil. It is vain. And the other type of dream is that where Satan creates forms and shapes in our thoughts that seems horrible to us when we are asleep and we are seeing a dream, which people will call nightmare, or people may say a bad dream, or see something and become scared with that what you have seen, get up in the night horrified about it. Okay, that is Satan creating forms and shape into the thoughts of that person while he's asleep, and that is what he's seen. This is also batil. This has no connection, it has no ta'bir, no interpretation, etc., etc. That is from Satan. But the third one is sahih. The third one is true. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is mentioned by Tibrani with a sound sanad, bi sanadin sahihin, with a valid sanad and narration, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, for a believer, for a mu'min, his dream is a kalam and a meeting and a speech which he is honored to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a mu'min, that comes to him in the form of ilham. In other words, whatever Allah shows a believer in a dream and he is a mu'min, it is like a form of ilham and inspiration to him, sometimes to make him aware of certain things and also sometimes to give him glad tidings. And that this division of the dream that is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said there are three types of dream. One is that whatever you experience in your normal daily lives, you see the same thing in your dream. He says that is worthless, it doesn't have any value. He says the other one is the shaitani dream, and he says that also has no value. He says, and the third type of dream, it is a form of ilham to a believer when it comes to a mu'min. A mu'min is true, he will get true dreams. Another hadith says, the way a person is, so too his dreams shall be. He's a false person, he's going to get false dreams. He's a true person, he's going to get true dreams. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, true dreams, it is the 146th part of the nubuwwat and prophethood. So this is why we will see in the Holy Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a dream where he was entering Makkah and he was conquering Makkah, and that itself was a form of wahi to tell him that that is what Allah is going to give you, a victory. Immediately after that, Surah Al-Fath was revealed, in which Allah says, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina." We have most assuredly given you an open victory, and the victory was that which he has seen in his dream. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he saw that he was slaughtering his son. He did not question it, but he went right ahead and he did it. And upon doing it, Allah said to him, "O Ibrahim, you have proven yourself to be a truthful person, obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Allah sanctions the action which he did when it was in compliance to only a dream. So it means the dream had a value of wahi and revelation. Qala, when it was narrated to him, when the dream was narrated, the father said, "Ya bunayya, O my beloved son, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatika fayakidu laka kayda." Do not reveal your dream upon your brothers, for they shall plot against you. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported by Imam Tirmizi and Muslim states that dreams for a believer is a special thing. Do not disclose your dream to any and anyone. And Tirmizi says, disclose it to an intelligent person. Disclose it to an intelligent person who is concerned about your welfare also, who bears no enmity and grudge against you. Look at the ayat. Yaqub alayhi salam knew very well that Yusuf's brothers bore hatred and enmity against him. So he's telling Yusuf, don't tell them your dream. Don't tell them your dream. That is from where we get that masla from. You have a good dream, don't disclose it to any and any person, because if that person has harm as an intention in his heart, then he's going to become more jealous, hate you even more, and cause harm to you. Another masla, that whenever a person sees anything bad in his dream, it is not proper to disclose it to others. It is not good. It's not haram, you will not get sin, but it's not proper. According to certain riwayats, it is mentioned that whenever you have a dream and you put it to someone to get an interpretation of that dream, then according to how he interprets that dream, that is what is going to befall you. So be careful of the people you place your dreams before to interpret for you. Another masla is that in order to protect Muslims from the harms and the evils of other people, it is permissible to disclose their evils to that person. And that will not be backbiting and slandering. What is Yaqub telling his son? He's saying, do not disclose your dream to your brothers. Why? Because they are going to plot against you to kill you. So what he's telling Yusuf, the evil intention of his brothers. A person can look at and say, are you setting the brothers against each other? You are not. You are protecting some from the evils of others. And that is what is permissible. In other words, the masla is like this. If you know that a brother has an evil intention in his heart to harm another brother, and in order to harm him, he invites him at his home so that he can cause harm to him, and you know that this is the intention of the brother's brother, this is his plot and this is his plan. The one who is being invited is innocent and he is unaware of that. It is your duty as a Muslim to tell him about it so he can avoid the harms that he may fall into. It is farz. So it is permissible to disclose the evils of other people in order to protect others. Do not allow them to fall into that harm. Another masla that the fuqaha and the jurists have taken out is that anytime you know a person who is of such a nature that they do not like good for you, you know, sometimes there are different, you know, there are so many different people. Some will be happy when you are in good times. They will say, brother, I am happy for you. You got a job? MashaAllah. Seeing good times? MashaAllah. Business is running good? Alhamdulillah. And there are others who become sad when you are seeing good times. You got a job? Why did you get it? Business is going good? Why should that happen? So sometimes other people do not have other people, you know, interests at heart. In different ways. Then the incident begins. إِذَا قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Remember, behold, when they said, so one day all the brothers got together, besides Yusuf and Benjamin. Now Yusuf and Benjamin, they were blood brothers, same father, same mother. But the 10 brothers, the eldest was a person by the name of Yehuda. The 10 of them were together. And it's like the 10 of them are envious of the other two. Same father, different mother. So the Yaqub alayhi salam was very much attached to Yusuf alayhi salam and Benjamin, and had much more love for Yusuf alayhi salam. That is something special, because he saw signs of nabuwat in Yusuf alayhi salam from a child. The dreams he's having, etc., etc. So when they saw that, they came together and they said, listen, our father, he loves Yusuf too much. And because of Yusuf, we cannot get attention from our father. They were grown up. They were elder than Yusuf and Benjamin. So we have to do something to stop that, so that the attention of our father can come upon us. That is what they are saying. إِذَ قَالُوا, remember when they said, لَا يُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ, Yusuf and his brother, referring to Benjamin, Binyamin, أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا, they are more beloved to our father, minna, than us. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَىٰ, while we are a great amount, 10 of us, they are only 2, and he's loving them more than us. إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, they said, certainly our father is on clear error. He's on misguidance, in other words. The misguidance doesn't mean that he is without a deen. It means that because he has more love for them, then he's on error. He's making a big mistake. So they came together trying to plan, how can we get the attention of our father on us? What should we do? So they said, they're giving their opinions. We can kill Yusuf. We can kill him. He's gone forever. Or we can take him and throw him away on a far off land, so he can't come back here. Our father doesn't know where he is. So we will get all the attention. And after we do that, all we have to do is make tawbah to Allah, and we'll come back righteous again. That is all we have to do. Allah says, mentions about their mashura and their plot that they are having. Uqtulu Yusufa, kill Yusuf. The Mufassirin have stated Yusuf at that time when this occurred was 7 years of age. Look at that. Look at a boy 7 years of age. Look what they are doing to their younger brother. Innocent boy. Uqtulu Yusufa, kill Yusuf. أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم. Or throw him on another land. يخل لكم وجه أبيكم. Then the countenance and the attention of your father will be only for you. Bas, you will get all the attention. No Yusuf and Benjamin again. وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين. And after that, you will become people who are righteous and pious now, salihin. Why? You will make tawbah, and afterwards, you know, everything will be good. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفَ وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ.
One of them said, "Do not kill Yusuf, but throw him at the bottom of a well. يَلْتَقِتْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ That some travelers passing by will pick him up if you really have to do anything." The incident is mentioned that this is what they have plotted. We are going to get Yusuf and we are going to kill him. Or we are going to throw him on a far off land. But they had a problem. What was the problem? The problem was that the father never allowed Yusuf and his younger brother to go out with them. Whenever they went out in the land to tend to the sheep, the goats and the animal, and in the jungle to fetch firewoods, the father will not allow Yusuf and Benjamin to go. Somehow he sensed that some harm will take place. So one day they came to the father and they said, "Oh, our father, don't you trust us with Yusuf? Why you don't have any trust in us about Yusuf? Why don't you send him with us? We are going to look after him." The father replied to them saying, "I fear..." Now the father knows very well that he has that some reservations regarding them. But he cannot disclose it to them, else their hatred against him will increase and their envy against Yusuf will also increase. But he knows it. You know, like if you know something about a person, it is not proper yet you disclose it at that time. But for your protection, you know it. You will do certain things, you will avoid certain situations, you will avoid the person, etc., etc. It is mentioned in certain tafsir. In certain ahadith, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said, once the father saw a dream. He was a Nabi, so his dream was meaningful to him. That he was at the top of the mountain and his young son Yusuf was at the bottom of the mountain. And all of a sudden, 10 wolves came and surrounded him and started to attack him. And when they started to attack him, one of them defended him and the earth concealed him, the ground, the land concealed him. The father understood that dream, you know, clearly. He was there. He is concerned about his son. The 10 wolves are the 10 elder brothers. And they are plotting to cause some harm to him. So this is why he never allowed Yusuf to go with them. But he never disclosed it to them. So when the brothers ask the father, "How is it you do not allow Yusuf to go with us? You don't have trust upon us?" The father said, "I fear that some wolf may eat him up." Look at the hikmah of the Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. He understood it. But if he kept Yusuf alayhi salam away from them, they will feel bad about it and it may just increase that barrier between Yusuf and his brothers. So he allowed to prove to them that he has some etimad upon them and he's not creating any barrier. He allowed Yusuf alayhi salam to go there. Okay. When they left, the father saw them off and they said to the father, they gave him the promises and the oath and the pledge that we will take care of Yusuf alayhi salam. We will protect him, ensure that he gets his meal, etc., etc., and he's safe. And they were holding Yusuf alayhi salam up, you know, lifting him up in front of the father, carrying him so the father will see that, yes, they have a lot of love for Yusuf alayhi salam, until they reach out of the sight of Yaqub alayhi salam. And when they reach out of the sight, they started to take advantage of him. Some of them started to beat him while others threw him on the ground. He got up and he started to run. But because they were older than him, they ran after him and caught him. And he started to beg one after the other, "Oh my brother, please help me." They will laugh at him and push him to the other one. And he will beg from the other and they will keep on pushing him one to the other, one to the other. And somehow they found out about a dream that he had, which he had disclosed to his father.
not through the father, but as a youngster, you don't ever think in your mind that your brothers will do harm to you. So they can come and speak in a sweet manner to you and get you to say certain things which you did not want to disclose before. You will say, come on, I mean, you can trust me. I'm your elder brother. Speak, let me know. And somehow they found it out from him. And while he sought help from them, they said, the 11 stars that you had seen in your dream, call those things to help you. Call the stars and the sun and the moon. Let's see if they can help you now. That just increased their hatred and their envy against Yusuf alayhi salam, the dream they found out about. Then he pleaded, Yusuf alayhi salam pleaded to his eldest brother Yahuda. And he said, oh my big brother, have you forgotten the oath you now took from father? So quick you have forgotten? Did you not tell father that you will protect me and you will save me and you will not cause any harm to come to me? And when Yusuf alayhi salam started to speak like that, the brother started to feel pity for him. Shafqat and rahmat enter his heart. And he said to the other brothers, listen, I have given my father my word that we are not going to let any harm come to our younger brother Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf. And I will not allow anything or any harm be done to him. And the brother said, we know what you are up to. We know the plot you are making against us. In doing so, you will go back to father and you will tell him what you did so that the attention of father will come to you now. And we will remain as we were in the beginning. You will get all the attention of daddy. We are not going to allow you to get what you want. And we will go ahead with our plot. Yahuda, the elder brother, realized that he was one against nine. He could not fight against them. Nor can his words overpower their words. So he said to them, listen, if you really have to do something, take my opinion. Don't kill Yusuf. Don't go in a far off land and throw him there. There is a well close by. Throw him in the well. That well is a very, very old well. There are serpents and scorpions in that well. If you throw him and throw the poison of the serpents when they will, you know, smite at him and they will go after him, the venom and the scorpions, if because of that he is killed and he dies, then you will, you know, you have a clean conscience to know that you did not kill him, but your maqsad is fulfilled. Your objective is to see him dead. He can die without you killing him. And if he does not die, then some travelers will pass. They will go to fetch some water. They will realize there is a young boy. They will take him and carry him off to a far off city. Your objective will be fulfilled. He will not be in front of your father to take away your father's attention. You will get all the attention. They fell for that. They fell for that. That is what we are going to do. And that is what these ayats about. Uqtulu Yusuf. This is what the first mashwara. Uqtulu Yusuf. Kill Yusuf. Awitrahuhu arvan yakhlulakum wajwabikum watakunu bin ba'di qaman salihin. Qala qailun minhum. One of them said. Who was that? The elder brother, Yahuda. What did he say? La taqtulu Yusuf. Do not kill Yusuf. This was at that time, you know, after Yusuf alayhi salam spoke to him. Do not kill him. وَأَلْقُوهُ But instead, throw him فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ At the bottom of a well. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ Some of the travelers will take him up. If you really have to do something, then do this. Throw him in the well. قالوا يا أبانا ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف. This is what they said in order to get Yusuf to go with them. Oh, our father, what is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? That you have no confidence in us about Yusuf. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاسِحُونَ And we are to him sincere counselors. We mean good to him. We do not mean harm to him. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا Send him with us tomorrow. يَرْتَعَ He will eat
وَيَلْعَبْ and he will play. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ and we will be his protectors. The father responded,
قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَعْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ
Certainly I fear and it grieves me that you should take him with you.
وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّبُ
And I fear that a wolf may eat him.
وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ
And at that time you will be unmindful and unaware of what has happened to him.
قَالُوا
They said,
لَئِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّبُ
If a wolf eats him,
وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ
Well, we are such a big jamaat, 10 of us. If we allow that to happen,
إِنَّا إِذًا لَخَاسِرُونَ
Then we will be among the losers. How can it happen? 10 of us and we cannot stop a wolf from eating him? Then we have to be losers. We have to be insane or mad people for that to happen. That was said to give some assurance to the father. Listen, send him with us. And the plan was already made.
فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون قالوا يا أبانا إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله الذئب وما أنت بمؤمن لنا ولو كنا صادقين وجاءوا على قميصه بدم كذب قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل والله المستعان على ما تصفون
The incident of Yusuf عليه السلام continues. We mentioned where because of the dream which the father had about the wolves eating up Yusuf alayhi salam, he gave the interpretation to that dream that the 10 wolves meant the 10 brothers and they will cause him some harm. So he did not allow Yusuf alayhi salam to go with them whenever they went for wood, for the sticks in the jungle, etc. So once they asked their father, Oh our father, don't you have any confidence in us with respect to Yusuf? When we are sincere counselors to him, good people to him, you never send him with us. Tomorrow why don't you send him with us? And we will play, he will play, and we will protect him. Because of what the father had seen, and the envy and the jealousy which he sends from the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, he said,
إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ
It grieves me that you should take him away, that he should go with you. And I fear that a wolf might eat him, and you will be unmindful of what happens to him.
قَالُوا
In reply to that, they said,
لَئِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ
If a wolf eats him, and we are such a big jamaat and a group of people, then
إِنَّا إِذًا لَخَاسِرُونَ
At that time we will be losers. Then it means that we are really weak people, not worthy of anything.
So, in order to show them that he does not have any reservations with respect to them, which may create disunity among the brothers, he allowed Yusuf alayhi salam to go with them, to play, to show them that he has some trust and confidence in them about their younger brother Yusuf alayhi salam. We mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salam was at the age of 7 years. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ So when they took him, وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْءِ And all of them came in full agreement that they should throw him at the bottom of the well. It is mentioned in the tafsir that when they took him away from the father, they began to ill-treat him, to push him around, push him on the ground, he will fall down, he will cry for help, and they will say to him, why don't you call for help, the 11 stars that you had seen in your dream? They learnt about that dream. This started to hit him, and then he will begin to run, and they will run after him, and they will catch him. And eventually, when he started to cry and speak to the big brother Yehuda, because Yehuda was the one who gave his word to the father that he will protect Yusuf alayhi salam, he was the young one among all of them that went out. And he reminded Yehuda of the oath that he took from the father. Some raham, some compassion came over the heart of the brother Yehuda. And he said to them that, listen, I have given my word to my father that I will look after Yusuf alayhi salam, and we will not cause any harm to come to him. But when he said that, the brothers realized in their minds, they said to him that, we know what you are up to. You want to be loved by our father. So whatever you do, you will go to our father Yaqub and say to him that you have done this and that, so you will become beloved to Yaqub. Yaqub's name was, his laqab and title which was given to him was Israel. He was Israel. We hear about Bani Israel, or Banu Israel. He is Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam. And Banu means children. Children of Israel refers to his progeny, stemming from the first 12 sons that he had, and their grandchildren, and their children, you know, Banu Israel. So his name was Israel. Isra, it means Abd. And Il, in the Hebrew language, means Allah. This is why we will find that most of the names of the angels end with the word Il. Jibreel, Israfil, Mikael, etc. Israel, servants of Allah, who will have Masihullah, Ruhullah, Abdullah, all these words that we have, servant of Allah, the word of Allah, the chosen one of Allah, Rahmatullah, the mercy of Allah, Hidayatullah, the guidance of Allah, people have all these names. So too in their language they ended off with Il. His name was Yaqub alayhi salam, and that was a title given to him, Israel. So the big brother said, when he realized that he was being pressured and it was him alone against the other 10 brothers, he realized that if he did not do what they wanted to do according to their plan and their scheme, then they may kill him. So he said to them, listen carefully, if you have to do anything to Yusuf, then do not kill him. There is a well from the olden days in such and such jungle. Take him to that well and throw him in the well. In that way, when you throw him in the well, then whatever there is in the well from the serpents, the snakes, the scorpion, etc., they might bite him, and because of the poison he may die. So your maqsad and your objective will be fulfilled in that he will die, but you are not the killers. So you will get your objective and your hands are not stained with the blood of Yusuf. Or if that is not the case, then some travelers passing by in search of water, they may go to the well for water, see this young boy and take him and go with him. He will be out of your sight. So you will have all the attention of your father. The Holy Quran says, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ So when they took him, وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ And they came together upon that plan and agreed that they are going to throw him into the well, the bottom of the well. This was their decision. We are going to throw him. So they went to the nearby jungle in which there was the well. There was water in the well. And they took off his kurta, his kameez, the kurta. They tied his hands. And they placed him in the bucket. The well in those days, a bucket and a rope. And Yusuf alayhi salam was pleading with them and he was crying to them. Yusuf alayhi salam, 7 years of age, thrown into the bucket. But they will not respond to his call and his cries. And they will say to him the same thing they said before. Why don't you call the stars that you have seen in the dream for help? And they started to lower him in the well, a deep well, a dark well. And poor little Yusuf, young little child, is being thrown in the well by the 11 brothers that are standing around and looking at him. And they continued to lower the well and he was crying out to them. And when the bucket with Yusuf in it reached half of the well, they cut the rope so that he fell straight down to the bottom of the well. But Allah protected him that he was not harmed by falling into the water. And it is mentioned in certain riwayat by different commentators of the Holy Quran that at that point in time, in order not to allow Yusuf alayhi salam to remain in the water, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the help of Yusuf alayhi salam and took out a stone and put it close by. Yusuf alayhi salam grabbed onto the stone and he sat on that stone. Allah says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. At that time, while he was being thrown into the well, Allah says, we revealed to him at that time. At that point in time, we sent revelation to him. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. And we have revealed to him. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. That you shall certainly inform them of this plot of theirs. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. At a time when they will not know about it. In other words, they will forget about it. This revelation that came to Yusuf alayhi salam was a means of consolation to Yusuf alayhi salam, a young child experiencing this danger where it is a matter of death in front of him. Allah revealed to him that, O Yusuf, you will be safe. You will be sound. No harm will come to you. You will be the one to inform them of this plot that they had against you. You will be the one to tell them that. So Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. We sent a revelation to him. And we know that, according to traditions, that he was at the age of 7 years. So therefore, the scholars have mentioned, the commentators have mentioned, what type of wahi is this? Wahi is it? Was it a wahi of nabuwat, a revelation which comes to Prophet alone? Or was it a different type of wahi? In Tafsir al-Madhari, the commentator of Tafsir al-Madhari, a very authentic and beautiful tafsir, he says, this wahi which Allah mentions that was sent to Yusuf alayhi salam at that young age was not the wahi of nabuwat and was not the revelation of prophethood. Because he became a prophet late afterwards. But this wahi and this revelation sent to him is likened to the revelation that was sent to the mother of Musa alayhi salam. That Musa alayhi salam lived during the period of Fir'aun. And because of some sorcerer and fortune teller telling Fir'aun that someone will be born who will overthrow you and take over your kingdom, Fir'aun gave an open order that every male child being born from the Israelites, they shall be killed. Musa alayhi salam happened to be born around that time. When Musa alayhi salam was born, and the people, the guards, were searching the different houses to find the male child, Allah revealed to the mother of Musa, put him in a basket and put him in the river. That is the River Nile. And so she did. So she got a communication from Allah which told her what to do. And when she placed the baby in the basket and put him, Musa alayhi salam, in the river, his sister followed the basket to see where it was going to. And the sister saw that the basket went directly in front of the house of Fir'aun. His house was attached to the River Nile. So the river was passing in front of his house. And the wife of Fir'aun was taking a bath in the river when she saw that handsome little baby in the basket. And she hung the baby. And the sister was looking. And the baby was crying. The baby needed milk. And each of the women at that time in the palace of Fir'aun tried to breastfeed the baby. But the little baby, who was Musa, will not take the feeding from any woman. Allah made it so. Look at the hikmah and the wisdom of Allah. This is why it states that everything that occurs in the world, it is joined together in a proper arrangement set by Allah. So it was not that Musa alayhi salam for himself did not want to take the milk, but he was being controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.